The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Please be seated. I've been thinking a lot about Abraham recently, partly because it seems like we hear about Abraham's warring children daily in the news. It's true. And partly because this past week, a group of youth and adults from the U.S. and throughout the Middle East gathered in Vermont for a leadership event sponsored by an organization called Jerusalem Peace Builders. And those youth and adult leaders will then help run various programs, including the peace camp that meets every summer at Camp Allen. That peace camp brings together Jewish, Christian, and Muslim young people from Jerusalem to learn not only themselves better, but also to learn about those with whom they live and how to sit at a table together in community. And it's a wonderful opportunity for those young people. When I think about Abraham, I can imagine him at home near those oak trees. I see him dozing off in the middle of the afternoon with the tent flaps open wide to the world beyond. Abraham's head dips forward and then snaps back as the flies disturb his slumber, if only for a moment. And that's when he catches a glimpse of three figures in the distance, traveling in the heat of the day. Abraham runs out to greet them and bows to the ground. And thus begins the mysterious encounter described in this morning's reading from the book of Genesis. The mystery only increases when Abraham's wife, Sarah, is promised the birth of a child, something that seems too good to be true in her old age. So what are we to make of this odd story? When my wife, Carrie, and I first moved to Minnesota in 2007, we lived in a neighborhood with beautiful shade trees in the city of St. Louis Park, which is a first-ring suburb of Minneapolis. And my favorite part of our 1935 house there was the only part of the house that wasn't built in 1935. It was a wonderful great room with a screened-in porch that extended from the back of the original house. Exploring the basement during our first summer in that house, I had found the half-dozen screens that fit the windows around the great room. So later, I sat in that room with the windows and three doors also with screens all wide open, enjoying the cool breeze. Because remember, this was summer in Minnesota, not summer in Texas. And just for a moment, it briefly felt all very Bedouin. You know, it was like being inside of a great tent with the wind blowing around me and connecting me to the creation outside. And as I sat there, I wondered about Abraham and Sarah and the three travelers who were welcomed outside of their tent. That particular summer, I had been taking care of travelers too. Carrie's mother came into town before they both flew to Alaska for a week-long stay, and soon thereafter, Carrie's sister flew into the Twin Cities after she had been visiting Honduras. And so I had been acting as the airport shuttle and gracious host and well-wisher for safe travels. Well, I didn't go anywhere. Now, of course, my conditions were a far cry from Abraham's. Thankfully, screens kept the flies away from the interior of our modern-day tent, and the ceiling fan in the great room was greatly appreciated as well. And the travelers entrusted to my care, they were all relatives. They weren't strangers like the guests received by Abraham and Sarah. But there was something else both then and now that kept my mind focused on this particular story. My thoughts turned to those strangers because of this icon, the one that's right over here on the other side of the church. That icon was displayed in our home. In Minnesota, it was on the wall of that great room, looking over a round kitchen table where all of our everyday meals were shared. And here in Houston, it's on the wall of the dining room in Palmer's Rectory. And so I brought it here this morning so you can see it either when you come up for communion or maybe after the service. It's a copy of one of the most famous icons in the world. The Russian original was created by Andrei Rublev in the 15th century. Named the Hospitality of Abraham, It depicts the three strangers seated outside around a table. They've been welcomed to rest and to wash their feet in the midst of a perilous journey. Now they're about to partake of an offering of food provided for their health and their well-being. Abraham has promised an appetizer of bread that will soon accompany the chalice that you can see on the table in this icon. And the narrative that we heard in the reading goes on to describe a lavish feast, complete with curds and milk and tender meat. And everyone's been working hard to make their brief stay as enjoyable as possible. This story has been passed down to us across the millennia, and it speaks to the heart of what it means to be human by intertwining so many different things. The sense of acceptance and safety that everyone seeks. The sharing with others of God's bounty in our lives. The enjoyment of that bounty in food, wine, love, and laughter. The wonder of strangers becoming friends around a dinner table. The unexpected blessings from nurturing our life together in a community. Somewhere along the way, most of us have had a taste of this. An expanding circle of old and new friends. A dinner party that brings interesting people together. A gathering of neighbors for a cookout on a holiday weekend. Or think about last weekend when a group of Palmers walked across the street to Herman Park for a picnic with our refugee family that our church is helping to resettle here in Houston. That kind of hospitality is what I'm sure most of us want our church family to reflect. We want to welcome our guests and invite them into this house of prayer. But there's more to it than just being, quote unquote, a friendly church. Those whom we welcome are traveling along a dangerous road, which is life itself. And their presence reminds us of something important about ourselves, something we often forget. As one theologian has put it, the stranger at the door is the living symbol and memory that we are all strangers here. This is not our house, our table, our food, our lodging. This is God's house and table and food and lodging. We were pilgrims and wanderers, aliens and strangers, even enemies of God. But we too were welcomed into this place. And so that's why hospitality has always been important to those who follow in the footsteps of Christ. He sat at table with tax collectors and sinners, with those estranged from God, with people just like you and me. There's a third century manual on church order that reveals the importance of hospitality to those early Christians. Listen to what it says about welcoming an outsider. If a destitute man or woman, either a local person or a traveler, arrives unexpectedly, especially one of older years, and there is no place, you, bishop, make such a place in your heart, even if you yourself should sit on the ground, that you may not show favoritism among human beings, but that your ministry may be pleasing before God. In other words, all of us, no matter who we are, have a responsibility to show hospitality within and beyond these walls. But there's one more thing about all of this. There's also the expectation that in doing so, in receiving the stranger, we will encounter the presence of God. And this expectation is clearly reflected in today's reading. Earlier artistic depictions of Abraham's hospitality showed the whole scene. They showed Abraham and Sarah and their dwelling and lots of trees in the background. But if you look at this icon, Rublev's icon is different. Standing somewhere beyond its boundaries, Abraham and Sarah can't be seen. Only the entrance of a house and a solitary tree remain on the edges. Rublev wants us to focus on the three mysterious figures. They are depicted as angels, as messengers from God. He has carefully arranged them around a table, suggesting a circle. Their body language reveals their interconnectedness and their communal relationship. It visualizes the way the narrative has them speak with one voice. And that voice represents the same God who first called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans. He had been called to begin the journey of faith into an unknown future. And he had no way of knowing about the direct connection between his calling and this mysterious encounter. He had no way of knowing that God had shown up at his table. He had no way of knowing that he and his household were now the true guests. The writer of Hebrews in the New Testament draws this conclusion: do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Others have seen in this mysterious encounter a way to meditate upon the divine dance of the Trinity. And Rublev suggests this in his portrayal of the icon's central figure. So look at the center person when you have a chance. That one is dressed as Christ is usually dressed in other icons. It is his hand extended over the chalice and blessing, reminiscent of the Last Supper. The one who represents Christ has become the host of this simple meal outside the tent of Abraham. And most importantly, and don't miss this when you see it, most importantly, there is an open space at the table. Notice the open space. It implies an invitation to share in the feast, to be drawn into the very life of God. And that invitation has been extended to you at this table today. Amen.